Well, good morning, and we are live here on another Thursday morning. Rain is coming, Matt, I understand what you just said.
Indeed.
We're a little bit behind our big 12 inches of rain that we get every year.
Yeah, significantly behind from the last thing I saw. I'll try to get some numbers later, but it's been a challenge this monsoon.
Yeah, we're looking for the rain because when it rains here, everything blooms. And that's why we've been called everywhere the living desert. Well, you know, during the past 3 weeks, we've been talking about all kinds of tourism. Ecotourism, wonderful guest, Craig Yovani. And then we talked about urban tourism last week with the famous Mark Irvin and some other folks from the Rotary Club of Tucson, former president, and Curtis Dawson. That was a great show last week. And we're going to have a great show tonight, or today, I should say. It's not tonight, today. And with a wonderful old friend of mine. He's not old, but I'm old. And Tim Vemmerstedt, good morning, my co-host.
Good morning, Thomas.
So we got a big show. Greg Morrow is going to be joining us in just a few seconds, and we're going to be talking about this wonderful growth of we in the industry call them FECs, but what that means is family entertainment centers, and we'll be talking about how they've changed over the years. We're going to be talking about the explosion in Tucson or mid-sized cities. And, of course, all of the suppliers that bring their goods and their arcade machines and their jumping castles and ball crawls and whatever else that there is new this year or actually over the last decade. We'll be covering all that. So I wanted to introduce you all to Greg Morrow. Good morning, Greg.
Morning, Tom.
So nice to see you. We're old friends of the family. Greg's dad, and we commonly called him Skip, but his first name was Tom, Tom Morrow. So we'll probably get into that wonderful Disney story, Greg, about how Tom was introduced in the Star Wars, I think, cabin. But you remember that, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
But Greg... boy, I tell you, Greg kind of got his dad's brain, and we were talking about that a little bit earlier in that. I would say he was a professional tinker. Would that be accurate, Greg? He liked to tinker into everything.
Yeah, he got in trouble a lot by doing that, but yeah, that's accurate.
You know, so I was, 17, 18 years old. I think it was 17. And his father got a phone call from my father and said, you know, I need to get my boy's butt out of the house and go to work. Can you give him a job? And I'm going to hold it right there, Greg, and hang on to that thought, because generally what we do here in the morning, Tim gets to talk a little bit about his favorite special events coming up. And so I didn't want you to sit there and not be introduced and listen to us, but we're going to be right back with Greg. But Tim, you got your special events that you want to talk about this morning?
Well, we have Discovery Nights at Children's Museum Tucson going on tonight. Visit the museum for a free night of science and art, including story times, pop-up science experiences. It's just a great way to, I usually say get out of the heat, but we're not going to be that hot today. But it goes on from 5 to 7 p.m. Thursdays, and that's over at 200 South 6th Avenue. And the cost is just pay what you wish. Any donation would be fantastic.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And then we have arts and appetizers going on at our good friends over at La Encantada Shopping Center. That's going to be tomorrow night, September 5th. And that's from 4 to 6 p.m. The event is free. There's lots of art displayed. Be a fun way to spend a Friday night with a glass of wine and enjoying that great facility. And then since we've been talking to our friends up in northern Arizona, I thought I'd throw one more out there. Tomorrow starts the Navajo Nation Fair.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah.
Window Rock, Arizona. I worked there when I was in the fifth grade. I grew up in Window Rock, and they put on a heck of a program.
Well, that's great, Tim. I know we had our friend from Northern Arizona on when all the wildfires were just going crazy in Grand Canyon. Matt, do you have an update on that, or are the fires out? Or
I don't, but it hasn't been in the news lately, so I think they've at least got it down to a point where they've got it contained.
Yeah, well, let's hope the rain makes its all its way up to the Grand Canyon North, Grand Canyon North, Grand Canyon South. Experience kind of just the fallout because of the smoke and whatever. But I do know that the Arizona Office of Tourism has formed a special kind of task force and to really turn the volume up in northern Arizona, because they did suffer some tourism loss because of the fire. So that was good to read about. Yeah. Well, we're back with Greg. Good morning again, Greg.
Good morning.
So I kind of, when I was writing up the introduction of Mr. Morrow, I used to babysit him when he was a little tiger. I think you're quite the tiger still, I think, but in business. Yeah. But
just 50 years older than then.
Yes, yes. And Greg and I, again, we've been to many conventions and together, especially the big one in IAPA in November. I guess you're going to that again?
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I go as an exhibitor now, which is such a different experience.
Oh, yep. Oh, yeah. That's probably the world's largest trade show of amusement park and attractions, equipment.
It is.
And revenue makers and... you know, I probably have gone 25 years during my career. I have not gone now for the last 8 years, so it's probably changed a little bit. But that's the International Association of Amusement Parks and Attractions. Now, Greg grew up in the amusement park industry, visiting Dad, playing skee ball, playing one of those wonderful early arcade machines. Yeah. Do you remember the name of some of those, Greg?
I used to play them all back then. It was stuff that was back in the 80s.
Ping pong, you know, so. And Galaxy and Pac-Man. Yeah. And
we had some great games at the park.
Yes. And
but
we all
was skee ball.
You know, yes. And I was the ride superintendent and Greg was in the arcade. That's kind of where we hung out. That's where Skip's office was, even though I think he had an office in the next door castle. But we spent a lot of time together. It was a 12-hour day for us that worked at Westview Park. And we got a break every – it was kind of a weird schedule. We were making about a dollar an hour. We worked 12 hours, but we had a break every 2 hours. And it was good thing we were young back then, Greg, I tell you. It was a crazy schedule. We were, and then there was this place right that we entertained the group picnic chairman. And it was called, I think it was called Scooter's Bar. I think was that the name, Greg? But it was a place where the general manager, Skip, and invited guest would have a farewell drink for the day, for a long, hard day, It was a wonderful place to get to know some of the folks that were my bosses. And, of course, it was where all the business took place, especially those that loved that enjoyed their beer. So it was a great opportunity. I was there for 4 years while I was in college. And Greg was the little guy back then, along with his sister, Shannon. And we had a great time getting to know each other. But then I saw Greg tinkering as he got older. And then you got into games and merchandise. So that was kind of a natural progression for you?
Yeah, I kind of got suckered into it. I started when I was 12 and a half years old, and Dad called me up one morning and said, "Wear some khakis. Someone's coming to pick you up." Security guard showed up at the house to throw me in the car and showed up at the park, and they threw a red shirt on me and said, "You're working now." I'm like, "Oh, okay." And I, stamping hands at the gate, letting people in was about all I could do. And then I started getting special projects. Hey, you're in charge of fixing lockers now. So I would fix all the coin operated lockers and make sure they were working because they were in the pool and the pool would rust everything. And so that was one of my jobs. And I started doing theater tech for all of our shows in the park and growing from there. And then our games manager left and I was just out of college and they're like, "We're going to give you a shot. You can take this over," not having ever really done it before, but had the inclination for it. So when it came to the arcade side of it, I had the technical know-how to figure things out. They sent me to arcade school where I learned how to repair all that stuff, right down to power supplies and monitors back then and all the stuff that we just throw away nowadays. Back then we fixed it and grew from there, and which started what has now been almost a 35-year career in the amusement and attractions industry.
Yeah, the days of tubes, vacuum tubes, that is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, learning how to discharge a vacuum tube monitor was scary.
I don't even remember how to do that.
But you have a giant screwdriver in the back hooked to a ground lug on a plug, and it just sparks.
So, Greg, we're going to go to our first break, so don't go anywhere. We got to hear a few commercials, and we'll be right back with Greg Morrow. And this is Tom Moulton, your host for today, and we're in the Morning Voice on KVOI, 10:30 a.m. Be right back after these messages. Well, we're back, and this is Tom Moulton, your host, and we have on the Zoom this morning a good friend of mine, a longtime family friend, Greg Morrow. Greg, good morning again.
Good morning.
Now, you're coming live from North Carolina?
I'm coming to you live from the airport in Charlotte, North Carolina.
All right. Oh, wonderful Charlotte. Charlotte's still the home base used to be the home base of King's Entertainment. Remember those days? King's Island, and then Paramount, King's Island, and then King's Dominion, I think is the park there in Charlotte, right?
Carowinds in Charlotte.
Carowinds, okay. And what's happened with the Six Flags and the Cedar Fair group? Are they do they have their offices there, or where are they these days?
It's funny. The Cedar Fair was out of Sandusky, Ohio, and Six Flags was out of Arlington, Texas. They merged last summer, and now their headquarters are here in Charlotte.
Wow. Have you been up there at all, or?
No.
Okay.
I have not yet. But this is their home park now, is Carowinds here in Charlotte, and their corporate offices, they've relocated everybody down here.
Well, it's a great location, absolutely. And Nelson Schwab is a name that pops into my head. I think he's still with us. Was the in charge of King's Entertainment Company, and we got to go to King's Island many, many times together, Greg. Beautiful park. Still is the home of the Beast.
And
the Beastie. And I don't think, is the Son of Beast, I think, did they tear that down, or the Son of Beast
Son
gone?
Son of Beast did not last as long as his parents.
Yes. And the Beast was a 4.5-minute roller coaster ride with some wonderful a hairpin turn that couldn't keep the track aligned because they kept going faster and faster and faster. And finally they slowed it down, which it didn't really destroy the ride, but it was great. It's a great park. Still is a great park.
That coaster goes back to, there's stories about them building that. Charles Dinh designed
That's right. That's right.
And it's back in a day when they had a budget and they just kept saying, we have more money available, just keep building. And the thing got longer and longer and ended up where it is today. And it's still to this day, one of the best wooden coasters in the world.
It is. The best time to ride it is right after a rainstorm. Because one, there's no line. So you zip in, you get in, and you want to believe the track's a little bit faster because the steel on top of the wood is wet. But
slides.
But most importantly, the brakes that they have throughout the ride where they attempted to slow it down, they don't work very well when they're wet. So it's a great ride and great memory. So we're talking with past family friend, I wouldn't say past, still a good family friend, and know the whole family. And unfortunately, Skip, Greg, your father passed away about, was it 10 years ago or so? Or how long has it been now?
8 years ago.
8 years ago. Great, great mentor. Obviously a great dad to two of his kids. And your mother still with us. That's great.
Yep.
And where is she now?
She's up in the mountains of New Hampshire.
Oh, yes. She stayed in New Hampshire, right?
Yep.
Great memories, because when Greg's father left Westview Park, he went to this wonderful park called Canopy Lake in Salem, New Hampshire, a great family-owned, in a sense, I wouldn't call it just an amusement park now. It's an entertainment park. Has a big show place. I remember when you put air conditioning in there and just made it so popular. And Canopy Lake is still probably one of the very few family run where the kids are running it now, and maybe probably the grandkids.
Third generation and fourth generation are starting to take over now.
It's a great.
They'll be 125 years old in 2 years.
Great family amusement park, just like Kennywood in Pittsburgh. Those are places that we, Greg and I, and Skip and Katie and the whole group used to go to. But so you've stayed in the industry now. If I recall correctly, when you started your career, you did go to this wonderful amusement park around the lake. What was the name of that lake that you worked at for a number of years?
Lake Winnipesaukee, in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Easy for you to say.
Took me years to learn how to say it, even longer to learn how to spell it.
And
Lake Winnie for short.
And did the famous C.P. Huntington make it there, I understand? Or was that where?
The C.P. Huntington train at Lake Winnie is the same one that used to run at Westview Park in Pittsburgh.
So when Skip and I got bored or angry or whatever to calm down, it was you got to see Skip on the train. And I followed suit when I went to Old Tucson Studios. And when I got went on a horseback ride, or I ended up driving the C.P. Huntington, which was a same kind of model train made by Chance. So the games and merchandise industry seems to be where you've stayed. And now you're the National Service Manager at Apple Industries. Tell us a little bit about that job.
It's fun. Apple Industries is one of the world's largest suppliers of photo booths. And we provide them to arcades, attractions, museums, shopping malls, route operators everywhere, all over the world. And we have one of the most, we launched a new product 2 years ago, and it has been blowing away sales numbers. Every place it goes, operators love the machine. They're seeing great return on investment on it, good money, proving that photo booths aren't dead. Everyone we talk to says, why do people need a photo booth? You have pictures on your camera. And there is still something about getting those two strips of paper out with your pictures on them while you're sitting there. And we've taken it to the next level.
Well, yes, they're in color now, but where else has it gone?
Mostly intellectual property. You know, IP is the rule of the day. So we are officially licensed by Disney for all of their IP, which includes Marvel, Disney, Pixar, all of their products. We have licensing with Major League Baseball, with NHL hockey, with NASCAR. We do some limited stuff with major National Basketball Association, depending on the arena. We have Hasbro licensing now, where we have all the Hasbro licenses available to us. We've invested a lot of our money in our technology and our software and our hardware package. And then to support that, we have an amazing creative team that keeps content fresh and the intellectual property and the IPs to go with it, where we can keep building out our catalog of offerings.
Now, can we find some of these machines in Tucson?
There's a few in Tucson. Tucson Premium Outlets has a couple. One of our Marvel Adventure Lab booths is down there, and then one of our Fotoma booths, which has a sampling of all our content on it. Both operate at the Tucson Premium Outlets. You go up a little bit north of you guys to Phoenix. Arizona Mills has a bunch of our equipment. We have a ton of stuff in and around the Phoenix market.
Okay, great. We're off to our second break, and when we come back, we promise we are going to talk about the Family Entertainment Center boom here, not only in Tucson, but all around the United States. And so we'll be right back with Greg Morrow and Tim Bimmerstedt in just a few moments. Well, we're back with Greg Morrow, longtime family friend and games and merchandise manager, now working for Apple Industries as the national service manager. I got a chance to see Greg not too long ago. We went to El Charro and had a wonderful meal and got to learn more about these famous photo machines. And, you know, for those folks that are listening, you have to remember the photo booth, sitting there with your girlfriend or your brother making weird faces because you had multiple photographs, and then waiting for 2 minutes for the little strip a black and white photographs to come out. Boy, those were the days, Greg.
Yeah, we got a little more high tech since then.
Well, I you know, the amusement industry's trying to, you know, this license material that you were talking about. I remember there was at IAPA where you could star with someone on a magazine cover. That was really cool. And the of course, the biggest thing for all those parents that don't let their kids get tattoos, Tucson is a home of, I think there's only two places in the United States that develop these temporary tattoos, and they were there at the last IAPA, so obviously they're still there, and they're here in town, and coming up with all these crazy tattoos, and of course some licensed tattoos, where you can, your child, you know, or anybody that, you know, they want a temporary tattoo can put them on in just a few minutes, and you got a tattoo for 9 days. That's still pretty popular, Greg?
Yeah, it's still very strong in the theme park world. You know, it's a guest add-on, and it's still very popular.
Yeah, one of the things that I thought Kings Island was the best, and I remember talking to the merchandise manager, is that you didn't have to go into an arcade to spend money. It's like everywhere you turned, there was a place to give up your money. Whether it was face painting or character drawings or tattoos or a food stand of some sort. So that's Greg and I, you know, we've had these jobs, but they've been so much fun. We don't really never regard them as work. It was, you know, because of the people and, you know, watching the guests come through the front gate and leaving and having a good time. So here in Tucson, interesting. Now, Tim, you were an employee of one of the first FECs here in town, weren't you? Tim, still with us? Can you hear?
Yeah.
There you are. Hold on just a minute, Tim. We had to punch the button and get you on. So back to the question. You were one of the. You were, I don't know if you were a teenager or how old you were, but you were at one of the first FECs, and they're still around.
Yeah, when I was 14, we were kind of crazy kids, and we were out cliff diving, and a buddy of mine worked at Peter Piper Pizza, and he wanted to go pick up his check after a day of cliff diving. And your friend, John Baxler, came out and said, any of you guys need a job? And I'm like, well, I just turned 14. He goes, I don't care. That'll be fine. And so he hired me, and he converted Peter Piper Pizza to kind of an amusement place. Added a ball crawl, and we had skee ball at the time that he put a carousel in and really made it a family entertainment center.
Yeah, those were the days, the first FECs, and not really competing with the amusement parks if they had one in their neighborhood. And if I challenged the two of you to skee ball, I think probably Greg would whoop us though.
I think so.
I don't know. I'm a little rusty.
Yeah, but we grew up playing skee ball, didn't we? You know,
old ones.
I remember a quick story is that when I left Westview Park, Skip had already left and gone to Canobie, so I was kind of left there graduated from college. And Charlie Wood, famous guy out of New York, offered me a job. Gaslight Village and Storytown at that time. It wasn't a Six Flags. And so I get there, and I'm supposed to be the ride superintendent, and apparently the ride manager had left, and they had brought back a former employee. So they didn't know what to do with me, you know. And I had a contract. They couldn't fire me. They couldn't send me away unless they wanted to pay me a lot of money. So they said, what do you think about being a games and arcade manager? I don't know, if you know this story or not. So he brings me to this building, and it's, you know, had 20 skee ball alleys and a redemption counter and, you know, only maybe 7 or 8 arcade pieces, a couple pinball machines. He says, I'm going to bring the king of the, I can't remember those machines, Greg, where they went back and forth and you pushed buttons and stuff and you got, I don't remember, they were all over the New Jersey shores. The crane machines, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
So he said, I'm going to bring the master of the crane machine in the New Jersey shores, Roger Sheehan.
Yep.
Do you remember that name?
Oh, yeah.
So Roger comes over to New York, Glen Falls, New York, proceeded to train me on everything to do with games and merchandise. He had 2 days to do it. And, of course, you know, I had been exposed to all of this through Skip and others. And, you know, so I think he probably felt that I picked it up pretty quick. So that was the beginning of my kind of well-rounded, skill sets of running in an amusement park. And it really did help. It did help. But the story I was going to tell you is that there's this formula, percentage giveaway, that from for the merchandise versus, you know, the number of tickets that you get when you play skee ball. And it was supposed to be around, God, I want to say 25% or whatever. And we were experiencing a tremendous amount of more giveaways than the norm is. So I remember Roger called me up and he says, Tom, what the hell are you doing over there? And I go, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's the merchandise is the same. Ask people to play another game or 3 games or 4 games to get more. He says, what do you think about these balls being made out of wood, you think that perhaps maybe that they're getting smaller, therefore they go into the target easier? I can't tell you what he said over the radio, but you know, this is what happens when you're young. I was probably 20, 21, 22 years old. And needless to say, it worked itself out. So back to FECs, they're opening up everywhere, Greg. Why do you think that is?
There's a desire, especially post-COVID in this country and around the world. People just wanted to get back out again. And FECs have evolved, and it's more, I think the new term is location-based entertainment is what they're being called, because it's not for kids alone anymore. There's been discovered that there's a demand for similar attractions or locations for young adults and adults. It's where you see Top Golf take off so well. You know, Top Golf came in and they created a social golf driving range with food, beverage, music, entertainment, and golf, right? And they're doing really well. Mini golf was that way for kids. It was mini golf, arcade machines, and that kind of stuff. Now you're seeing variations of Top Golf. There's a company we work with called Home Run Dugout that's basically Top Golf for baseball. It's all baseball hitting bays and virtual stuff. You're in there and you're playing in all the real fields out there virtually, hitting a real ball on the screen, and it's doing all that. But it's the same concept: music, entertainment, food, beverage. You book some time in a bay. Your friends all go out there. Instead of just going to the batting cage, now you're going, you're hitting in a real major league park, or what it looks like anyway. You're getting drinks. You're having food.
What's the name of this one?
Chuck E. Cheese. That's Home Run Dugout is the name of that company.
We need one.
Company's doing that?
Yeah, we need one of these. There's probably one in Phoenix, I think, huh? What do you think?
They're new. We opened with their first one in Katy, Texas, and they're expanding to new locations. They've only been around for about 2 years. I'm working with another company in Shreveport, Louisiana right now that just opened. It's a 9-hole golf course combined with a golf driving range, virtual driving bays, and the Home Run Dugout hitting bays all in one complex. And they're starting to look into that, to franchise that out there. There's a demand for this. Look, Chuck E. Cheese this summer opened their first adult-based arcade. No more, you know, no pizza and all that, but it's an arcade designed for the adult crowd. And they've opened a couple of them this season so far as a new branch of their business, because Chuck E. Cheese has been around for decades, right? You go in, the mouse things, the old animatronic band would put on a show, you get your pizza and you play your games.
So yeah. Greg, Tom, may I ask one more question about this Home Run Dugout? Is this an outdoor venue, or is it completely indoors, or kind of a hybrid?
It's all indoors. It's a hybrid. They have outdoor areas and dining and the such. All the hitting bays are all indoors. They're all virtual on a screen. You're hitting a real ball. You're getting a real pitching machine's pitching a real ball to you. You're hitting it with a real bat. But then the computer software kicks in and it tells you how long that home run was or where that hit landed in which park you're playing at.
Son of a gun. That's really neat.
If there's any investors out there, please call us here at the radio station. Matt, I think you and I are ready to for our next career.
Yeah, it's kind of a breaking story here. This is pretty neat.
Greg,
yeah, it's
huge.
Yeah. These concepts are huge.
I can't wait. Greg, we got one more segment left, so hang in there. I'm Tom Moulton, and I'm your host, and we're listening to all the things there are about family entertainment centers. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the new ones that are coming. But next hour, we have Marie from Main Event, which is a big one, too. Be right back. Well, we're back. It's Tom Moulton, your host, and we have a special guest who, I guess now you're called a supplier, Craig, but you're obviously so much more than that because you're a wealth of information. If I had a couple million dollars in the bank, I know what I'd be putting up right now, Home Run Derby. That sounds like, you know, the biggest thrill of being here in Tucson is when we had spring training and Triple A team, and they let me out there every once in a while, Greg, and during batting practice, and I could actually still hit the ball. So can you regulate the speed and everything of the pitch and all that, or how complicated is it?
It's yeah, you can slow it down, speed it up, you know.
Are they wood bats or aluminum?
Aren't the way they used to be, and yeah. You can bring your own bat. They don't care.
Oh, is that right?
Whatever you want.
Is it a hard ball or the little? Oh, it is a hard ball.
Generally, it's either a real baseball or it's one that's built for the machines themselves. Sometimes they're a harder rubber ball.
Yeah, they're little. They give a little bit, but not like hard balls don't give. But boy, Matt and I are going to be. We're going to have to do a road trip, find out where the nearest one of those is. I had heard that there had been a Topgolf clone out there, but I did not hear there was a clone in the sense of baseball. So, thank you. It's really great information to have. Now, what's happening here in Tucson? In kind of the mid-size towns, during COVID, there was quite a few of the, and of course with the Amazon phenomena, a lot of large, big stores. What do they call those big stores? Matt, the ones that, you know, like Home Depot and the Lowe's,
big box stores.
Thank you, guys. And they were empty. And all of a sudden now the trampoline parks have moved in and there's a Bath and Beyond left and
that Roadhouse Cinema opened up Roadies.
It's a sports bar,
bowling alley, axe throwing, arcade.
Yes,
and it's this kind of thing that we're talking about. Reimagining spaces for retail, which is retail has cratered, and so they're reimagining all these spaces.
That's what the Derive and location-based entertainment is. We partnered with Cinemark Movie Theaters, who's all over the country, and they opened a location in El Paso, Texas called Gamescape. They opened it this past year and basically took that movie theater concept, added the family entertainment center to it. So there's a restaurant, there's a bar, there's a full-blown Redemption arcade and a theater in there. So you can plan your kids' party in this place, see a movie, play games, have your meal, everything in one place. And they have seen tremendous numbers with that location, and there are plans to expand that across the country as well. Regal Cinemas is another big player in there that's starting to reinvent themselves where, you know, movies aren't getting the same attraction they used to. So now they're turning the theaters into the attraction in addition to just the movie.
So you see an article there.
I was just going to add that Home Run Dugout, an entertainment venue featuring Soft Toss Baseball, has picked Talking Stick Resorts Entertainment Complex for its first location outside of its home base in Texas. So I don't know if it's open yet.
It makes sense.
But here we are.
There it is. There's a nice picture of it. It makes sense, Talking Stick Resort, Native American casino, hotel, entertainment, baseball in the Phoenix area, in Scottsdale, I think, or somewhere in there, yeah. And that makes sense for them to get a big, it cost $22 million to build, Greg.
Yeah.
Hey, so you got $22 million.
Well.
Yeah, you got $22 million hanging around. Why not build an entertainment complex? You know, and
nothing's cheap anymore.
Yeah, you know,
everything costs money, but they're doing such a good job with these locations. You're finding, if you dig deep, right, you'll see that there's all these Disney Imagineers that do all their creative work that left Disney or got laid off after the project was done that have started their own companies. And they're doing all the creative work for these places like, you know, Home Run Dugouts and the Gamescapes. And they're coming in saying, hey, we'll do your theming and design. And they're working with distributors like Betson and Player One, or two of the largest arcade distributors out there. And they come in and they give you a full package. You know, here's all the games you need. Here's, you know, you don't have to rely on your own knowledge anymore. There's such a wealth of industry knowledge to come in. Main Event's a huge company. I know she's next on the show, and they, you know, they're all over the country and they're growing, and they work with companies like Player One and Betson, and these designers come in and they create these experiences now that it's not just that arcade that's in the dark corner of the mall anymore. They're these huge, multifaceted entertainment destinations that are taking up large retail spots that you never would have thought of in the past.
Well, Greg, it's so great to see you, and thank you for being on the show. And say hi to the family for me. And
I will.
Take care. And next time you're in Tucson, putting your photo booth in the home run, we'll be glad to have you here as our host. So thank you again.
You'll be my first call.
All right. We'll be right back with Marie Carroll from our main event. Thanks again, Greg, and we'll see you all back here at 8:03. Well, we're back. It's 8 o'clock, and this is the Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton. I'm here every Thursday, and we talk about tourism and all kinds of things to do with festivals. And today, we have been talking about family entertainment centers, and we got a really special guest that just joined us. Marie, we want to do a quick little audio check here.
So before we bring Marie on, I'm going to need you to mute your computer on Zoom there, and then we will bring Marie on.
All right. Thank you, Matt, for reminding me. Maria, can you hear us?
I can.
All right.
Good morning.
Yeah. So good to hear your voice. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Great. So, Marie, we just got off the 7 o'clock hour with a gentleman that makes those wonderful photo booths from Apple Industries, not the Apple that you have your phone with, but and he was telling us about all kinds of things that are going on, and we knew that you were coming on, and he gave a great praise for what you guys are doing out there. I don't know if you have his photo booth, but the one he says, it's one where you can, they have all kinds of licensing agreements with, you know, Disney and whatever. So I presume what he's talking about is the background of the photo. But it's still, when you were a kid, the old thing that drops out of the, you know, side of the of the machine. And of course,
yeah.
I probably have, packed away in some boxes somewhere. Had lots of those with goofy photos, as we used to call them, because, you know, I think it took 4 or 5 photos or something like that. And,
yeah.
You know, so you remember those, Marie?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely.
So we're going to be sharing with Marie what we are experiencing here in Tucson. We've had a couple of family entertainment centers, and our co-host, Tim Bemberstedt. Good morning again, Tim.
Good morning, Marie. Good morning, Tom.
Now, Tim used to work at a very early on pizza place that ended adding machines. What was the name of that place again, Tim?
It was Peter Piper Pizza.
And Marie, I know you're familiar with that organization.
Yes.
Out there. And there's several, maybe, I don't know, maybe 4, I don't know, of these. And of course, they've expanded. And Chuck E. Cheese Pizza bought them out several years ago and made John the owner very comfortable for the rest of his life. And we just learned that Chuck E. Cheese Pizza is doing something, it's somewhat similar to your parent company. Have you heard about
that? Yes, yeah, I have. I have heard about it.
It's amazing. Everybody wants to get into, into the business. And Tucson being 1 million people, I think even Main Event could probably build another one of these in town, because it's somewhat of a limited general audience that goes to this. But I think you have proven that you can reach beyond that normal kind of diameter around the Main Event, because you're the only one in town and you have such a unique array of entertainment. But before we do that, Maria, I want you to just hang on just for a few moments, because we have a whole new audience that starts up at 8 o'clock, and Tim, yeah, our co-host, gets always a chance to quickly mention his favorite special events. And I tell you what, Marie, make sure if you have a special event, you send me that email, because every Thursday we can get that on the air for you, and just a little bit of extra awareness always helps. Tim is always looking for new things to talk about. So, Tim, I think there's one or two or three maybe events that you are recommending this weekend.
Yes, we have Arts and Appetizers taking place with our good friends over at La Encantada Shopping Center. That's tomorrow, September 5th, from 4 to 6 p.m. Just a great way to enjoy that fantastic facility, see some great art. I think the Southern Arizona Watercolor Guild is going to be there. And have a glass of wine and walk around and enjoy the property. And then we have, bear with me one second. That didn't work. There we go. Discovery Nights at Children's Museum. Yeah, I'm dealing with like 2004 computer technology. So
I got to up your pay, Tim.
Yeah. I'm calling in from the Southern Arizona Alliance Volunteer Center on the east side.
Yeah, thank you, Tim.
Discovery Nights at Children's Museum Tucson. Visit Children's Museum Tucson for a free night of science and art, including story times and pop-up science experiences. It's a free night. That's tonight, Thursday, 5 to 7. It's at 200 South 6th Avenue. And they just mentioned cost, pay what you wish.
Yes.
Whatever you feel like the experience is worth. They would gladly accept that donation.
Yeah, that is.
And then, of course, go ahead, sir.
No, I think that's a great concept. Go ahead, Tim.
I do too. And of course, the Navajo Nation Fair kicks off tomorrow. Officially, my first job when I was in the fifth grade working at the fair. I grew up in Window Rock, Arizona, and they put on a fantastic program. I got to meet Ronnie Millsap, Kenny Rogers, the band War when I worked there. And it's worth a road trip.
Yeah, we're actually have it on our...
Runs through the 7th.
Yes, December 2nd through the 7th. And wonderful. Looks like a great fair.
In Window Rock, fantastic.
Yeah.
As Tim said.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Tim, for sharing that information. So, Marie, you know, normally this first segment, we got about 4 minutes left or so. Before you get going about main event, we want to learn a little bit about Marie. So, anything you'd like to say, that's up to you. But what's your background and how did you find your way to the main event?
Yeah, for sure. So I am a mom of five, moved back to Arizona from Texas when my daughter was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes for some more family support, found my way into main event from there. My kids said I could never leave. So I guess I'm going to be a main event lifer. I have a lot of restaurant background, a lot of marketing background. I did that for a while for a Burger King franchise in San Antonio, doing openings and promotions and everything like that. And with Main Event, I was an event coordinator, moved up to a sales manager, and now I'm a training manager for new center openings in different states. So we have an opening in Michigan. I have team members that are going out to an opening. They just opened Norman, Oklahoma, and they are opening Greensboro, North Carolina in the next few weeks. So it's been an absolute crazy ride with Main Event, but it's been a lot of fun. I have an operations background, so the sales side is a little bit different. So I've definitely had to do a lot of learning along the way.
Yeah, I saw that announcement about you becoming a training manager, and of course it had a photo of all of the training managers. So what a diverse collection of trained individuals. I think when you guys arrive on property, it's a blessing, because you know a lot of those folks had probably never worked at a Main Event, and Main Event itself is such a diverse collection of entertainment. But the sales part is, you know, what you're doing, and of course we see a lot out there in networking events and business to business events. And so being part of the community seems to be a mainstay of Main Event.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the biggest things that I love the most, I would say, about Main Event is the fact that they truly value community, and they really make sure that they give back. So last year, I think we gave out over $35,000 worth of donations, free events to the Tucson community. Looking to beat that this year. So we're right on track for that. But they let me do whatever I want to do, which is great. All of the crazy ideas that I have and reach ideas and, you know, community events that I want to do that they fully support, which is huge, because even when I worked for other corporations or smaller local companies, it's very difficult to sell the community importance to their business. But whatever you pour into the community, they pour back into you. And that's always been my passion. My husband was an educator for 15 years, so supporting teachers and trying to figure out how we can get kids to come out and whether it's for fun or doing, you know, like a STEM program with them. I try my hardest to work with our youth and our teachers as much as possible. We've done partnerships with the YMCA Boys and Girls Club, Tucson Parks and Rec, just to get these kiddos out of the heat during summer programs and able to do something where they're still active, at Main Event for their summer youth program. So it's been a lot that I've tried to do with the community. I try to make partnerships as much as possible.
That's great.
We're giving back.
Really, really fun to hear about that, because I know you're everywhere and you enjoy you enjoy people. Five kids. I didn't know that. So
and the Main Event is at Irvington and I-19. Looks like the northwest corner there. Kind of give everybody a little frame of reference.
Thank you. That was Matt by the way. He's behind the window. Hey, so yeah. So we'll be right back. Marie, don't go anywhere, because we want to learn more about the activities within the Main Event and then some of the other things you might be seeing at some of the other Main Events that maybe you would like to have, since, you know, innovation is a big part of Main Event. We'll be right back. This is The Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton, and we're live on Facebook and YouTube. Right, Matt? How do we find that?
YouTube, 1030 The Voice is the channel, and we've shared a link over to the live video on Facebook as well, but we do have video today.
All right. Thank you all. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Matt. Thank you very much for making sure we are live. And, boy, we are really live because Marie is live. Marie, thank you very much for being here. Marie Carroll, she's the sales manager and official sales trainer for the Main Event, which is located here in Tucson. There's one location. Marie, how long have you been open now?
Almost 3 years, so it'll be 3 years in March.
Man, that's gone quick, hasn't it?
Of course, flown by.
You were here when the building just opened up, and you had a great grand opening, and you invited the community. And Marie contacted me about joining the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. So we were so happy that you did that, Marie, and hopefully we're doing our job here, making sure everybody knows about you and some of the things that you're doing. And we're going to expand that now with the special events and get you on the radio whenever you have a large major event. We'd love to have you. But let's talk a little bit about a Main Event, because obviously – this craze of family entertainment centers was just starting to pick up. I mean, you know, you saw some of the large big box stores were putting in, you know, the trampoline parks, which were are still continue to be successful. Kids love to jump up and down. Of course, there's been the climbing, entertainment facilities that are here in town. But, you know, before that, we had we needed more family entertainment centers. We needed more entertainment activities where the family could feel safe and they were clean. But we talked about, you know, some of the things that Mr. Vimmerstedt used to work at that were attempting to do things. And of course, along came your parent company, they're located over there by the Keno Sports Dave and Buster's, and they didn't initially own you though, right? You were already in the growing and moving all over the country before Dave and Buster's bought you. But I think that goes hand in hand of the next question, because tell me what goes on at Main Event. So clearly, David Buster's was sitting there going like, "Oh my goodness." Maybe, I don't know. You know, we got to buy them, you know, so we're part of the team. I don't know. But what do you think? I mean, you know, from that perspective, you know, when you were planning on coming to this community and then you opened, tell me the things that are actually going on inside the Main Event.
So when we're looking at opening, Main Event looks at a wide variety of just different opportunities about where we're going to settle down, right? We are opening a lot in like suburbs of probably, you know, larger communities. Prior to that, we did open in some larger communities, but now we're kind of looking at who is booming, who has the greatest need for a family entertainment center. So we opened up in Taylor, Michigan, which is the suburbs of Detroit. It's a fast growing family suburb, absolutely beautiful and green up there. Norman, Oklahoma is a big college town, but also quickly growing. Its unemployment rate is very low, and very similar to Main Event. The the average family size is growing out there as well. We'll be opening in the outskirts of like New York City, another Main Event in California, and then also Minnesota next year. So we're looking at all of the factors of, you know, where's the greatest need? Where do we have families that are booming? So I do see that we could possibly open up another Main Event north of us, you know, Marana area, I would say. I don't know when, but I have put the seed out there multiple times. So,
well, what do you think what do you think brought you here to Tucson?
It was the community for sure. We were doing a lot of just looking into the community to see, you know, if it would be sustainable, and just the growth that has come out here, the families that are growing out here, the suburbs, Marana, Vale, Rita Ranch, over by Casino del Sol, it's just booming. The amount of companies that are headquartering out here is huge. And there's just a really big need for a family entertainment center. There's something that, you know, a lot of people chime us as eatertainment. So it's big across the brand with, you know, Dave and Buster's, Main Event. Families are wanting to go somewhere where it's like a one-stop shop. They can grab something to eat, but then we can also, you know, have fun activities to do. So we're looking for communities that are in need of that. And I mean, Tucson was just perfect for it. I feel like we give back to the community like crazy. You know, Tucson is very community oriented, which I absolutely love. The culture is very deep, and that's another thing that Main Event, we're very prideful of, is our culture and our community and in our center. So we do constant volunteer work in the community, as well as like giving back through the sales team. So we'll do silent auction prizes and just different giveaways. So we are looking for those communities that are in that huge need, but Tucson just fit perfectly for a Main Event.
Now, the variety of activities, I think you're kind of known in the industry as a hybrid entertainment model. It started with, I think, having the very best arcade machines, I think. I mean, as you know, the ones I love out there. You know, I tell the story about in the Jurassic machine where you actually sit down and you're immersed. So experiences, that's the big thing of why family entertainment centers are doing well. You know, so this is an immersive entertainment product. You get in this Jeep, and in a sense, you travel around Jurassic Park, and you're shooting the dinosaurs that are coming at you. And I was in this two-passenger Jeep, and just shooting the dinosaurs, and all of a sudden, I hear this voice coming out of my my right ear, and I go, and she's egging me on, and she's, you know, so I thought somebody from the public sat down, you know, and would join me in the ride, but it wasn't a real person. And it was this beautiful lady, you know, dressed up in her Jurassic Park outfit, you know, telling me, you shoot right here, look out over there. And I'm going like, I'm having the best time in my world. And I got some experiences that I've never, ever thought I would. Maria, don't go anywhere, because this time goes really, really fast. And because I want to talk about the bowling and the other things that you're doing there inside. So we'll be right back with Marie Carroll from Main Event. Well, we're back, and our special guest is Marie Carroll. She's a sales manager, national sales training representative, and just an all-around community leader here in Tucson. And we're so happy to have you on. We've been talking about the growth of family entertainment centers here in Tucson. Lots and lots of reasons, but certainly people are now looking for indoor facilities because of our heat during the summer. And there's always this, whatever tourism community I've worked in, it's always been seasonal. So one of the things that we always strategize is how can we help Tucson become a year-round destination? And, of course, how can we keep our residents here from escaping to some of the cooler states, cooler areas? And the Family Entertainment Center is really helping, give more for families to do together. And Main Event came here, national product, decided to come to our little town here of a million people, spread out from, you know, I think you mentioned Casino del Sol. You know, some people would say, wow, it's way out there. And then, of course, over the fairgrounds, you know, that area, you know. But here we are in Tucson now for 3 years. So tell me the diversity, the things that are going on inside for the families with the children. Tell me some of the activities that take place inside Main Event.
Yeah, so we have bowling, we have laser tag, we have pool tables, we have a shuffleboard table. I'm not good at that. I'm learning. And then we do have over 85 arcade games. I would say the cool thing about our arcade games is that the majority of them are meant to be played together. So you have your Mario Kart, you have, you know, like your Wild West game where you're shooting with somebody else, like you said, the Jurassic Park game. Yeah. They're meant to be played together. So that's a big draw for families, is that they can, you know, compete against each other in these games and have some friendly family competition. And then the best part, I mean, we have a full restaurant and bar and a quick service restaurant. So then that way you can grab a bite to eat and you don't have to worry about the kids getting hungry, anywhere from, you know, pizza to a hot honey pizza or like a, you know, chicken Caesar flatbread. So we have kind of everything in between there to, you know, satisfy a wide variety of tastes. But we also do a lot of community events as well. On Saturday, we have an educator like back to school bash, essentially. So we're going to be treating our teachers to some, you know, free playtime. So they'll be able to do activities in arcade for free. And then if, you know, the community wants to be involved, all they have to do is bring a school donation, and you know, we'll give them the same perks, and educators can learn about everything that we're offering, you know, from school events and how we can help them with fundraising and spirit nights and percentage back and everything like that. But we're going to do a zombie takeover. I was at Comic-Con this past weekend.
It was absolutely packed, wasn't it?
It was insane. I was like, this feels like Phoenix. I feel like if we're not there yet, we are going to rival the Phoenix Comic-Con. I mean, it was massive and it was so much fun. I'm a huge fan of the Ninja Turtles. So
yeah, I saw.
Getting to see them was awesome.
Those costumes look pretty real, don't they?
Yeah.
I think the developer or founder of the Ninja Mutant Teenage Turtles, how do I say that right? He was there as well. And I don't know if you got a chance to see him talk. But you know, it was such a phenomenon. They've done multiple movies, obviously cartoons, and now tell us about the bowling, because you know, you've taken you of all the things you could have added. Now I know laser tag's been around for a long time, and you're running around and you're shooting each other. That's never going to go away. I think I played Army forever, probably until I was 12, 13 years old, until I discovered dances, you know, so those were pretty cool back then. So bowling, traditional bowling, I noticed you had now you're starting up some league bowling. Tell me a little bit more about the bowling.
Yeah, so for our bowling, we have 22 lanes. Four of them are VIP lanes in your own kind of private bowling area. But I feel like the best part is, like you said, we have traditional bowling, which is fantastic, of course. But if you're a terrible bowler like me, sometimes it's not as fun. So, of course, we have the bumpers that come up from person to person, from player to player. So you don't have to worry. You know, my kids are too proud for bumpers, but I am not. So they'll come up on my turn and they'll go down on my kid's turn. And then there's actually like immersive games that you can play on there. We have one called Hyper Bowling where you actually have to like hit the bumpers. It kind of reminds me of... what was it? Pressure Luck, where it's like no whammies, stop type thing. So you're trying to hit the bumpers when it's a certain color, and then that's like a multiplier. It's really cool. We have one that our smaller kids like absolutely love. It's called Monster Bowling, and you're building your own monster as you're bowling. So it's not as like competitive, and bowlers like me can do a really great job and feel good about themselves instead of, you know, getting my usual score of like 26 and, you know, feeling kind of bad when everyone else is over 100.
That's amazing. I didn't realize you had so many creative ways to bowl. You know, I've been impressed is that you don't have to keep score anymore. It keeps, you know, you just bowl and it tells you when the next bowler comes up and everything. Now my 7-year-old granddaughter in Austin and had her birthday party at a bowling alley, and I'm not sure where she went. Could have been Main Event, but she had a great time. And of course you're catering to the children too, so you got those 5-pound, 7-pound, 8-pound balls versus a bowling alley. You know, sometimes they might have a 10-pound, you know. And when my daughter was in town over the summer, we went to a bowling alley right outside of in Oro Valley. And I won't name it because the little thingies that you talked about, the bumpers didn't work well. So, nothing's more disappointed when a child tries to bowl or throw the ball down and it's a gutter ball. Trust me. For you, I guess that's okay. But for a child, and, you know, because they can barely, you know, they pick up the ball and they kind of roll it, you know, and you try to show them how to slide in a little bit and everything. But there's not been nothing better than a family bowling together. And I'm so happy. I was so happy to see that. I haven't experienced the bowling there. I need to come over, Marie, and experience it. Yeah, because it sounds like a lot of fun. And now, did I read somewhere though there that you do obviously it is you do have traditional bowling, and are you have you developed a league thing? Did I read that right? Or
we do social leagues.
Okay,
so for my league bowlers, I'm so sorry, but it's social leagues. I'm not sanctioned, unfortunately, but our social leagues are pretty popular. So you can come out there with just a group of friends and you can compete against each other. You know, we have prizes at the very end. Main Event usually sponsors a pretty big prize across all of their centers. So all like 58 centers that we have right now, 59 across the country. So we've done different types of social leagues. So there's one that was like brews and bowls for like obviously our older crowd that can, you know, grab a beer while they're bowling and some pizza. And it's just nice to be able to have that planned out. I feel like a lot of times as adults, we just let social time get away from us. And we're so wrapped up in, you know, working and kids and just the everyday. So having that planned out for 6 weeks where you're meeting with your friends every week for just a couple hours, it's really invigorating. And I feel like energizing to just be able to do that socially.
No, that's so important. It, you know, helps on digestion. It helps in you sleeping, certainly cuts down on your stress. I think I need to go there more often.
You do.
I mean, what a great, just, you know, show up and immerse yourself in one. How many square feet are in your building? I think you've told me that, but I don't remember.
We're at 50,000 square
feet. 50,000 square feet.
Quite large.
Yeah, and you've gone the route of building your own buildings versus some of the other family entertainment centers are looking for high ceilings and lots of square footage. But you decided, and this is pretty much the model, you buy or you build your own buildings.
Yes. I feel like being such an innovative center, so many other Main Events have different amenities. Some of our centers in Texas have miniature golf courses, which I'm extremely jealous of. we had one in Norman, Oklahoma, actually has challenge rooms, so kind of like mini escape rooms in there. So it's really difficult to find a building that will suit our needs and be able to, you know, gut it and put a bowling alley in there and then put challenge rooms. And so really just kind of building from the ground up is sometimes easier for us just because our specs are so intricate and what we offer is so different from, you know, a lot of our other counterparts. Now, we have taken over a few different buildings in different areas, but it usually is a little bit more beneficial to us to build from the ground up, which is really nice.
So one last segment. This is the segment that you get to tell us where you are, your website, your how to do a group event there, because the food is really good, by the way. And you can do some customized stuff out there with your chef and the rest of your team. So we'll be right back with the Morning Voice with Marie Carroll, and we'll wrap this up. And thank you so much, Marie, for being on. We'll be right back, the Morning Voice. I'm Tom Moulton, your host. I'm here every Thursday. Tomorrow, Dr. Ackerley will be here from 7 to 9, and he'll talk about the University of Arizona and all the wonderful things that are going on there. So, Marie, we had a great conversation so far. We talked about a Main Event and some of the other locations that are going on in the United States. And it's so nice that you moved here in Tucson. You built your own building. You're in a growing area for sure. I mean, 5 years ago or so, or, you know, maybe there were, you just go down to Casino del Sol and there wasn't much to see and to do until you got off of 19. But now, right from downtown, you are literally you know, with no traffic, 5 minutes away from downtown from my office. And it's, you know, so there's no excuse for me not to be visiting more to control my stress. There's nothing better than running around laser tag. Let me tell you, it is absolutely a blast, especially if you get your family in there and you have a brother or sister, you know, you can get even with. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So Marie, you're a community leader. We see you around a lot. You know, we've had with SAAA, you always are there for the trade show participants. So we really appreciate everything that you do. Great events out at your place, great food. I was out there for the Arizona Bowl, and we, the football players ate you out of house and home. That was amazing. You just remember, if you run a facility and you have a football team there, make sure you have plenty of meat. Because we ran out of meat, but you were the chef was prepared and he had more meat ready for them. So that was a great event. It was, you know, it was a beautiful event for them, and they enjoyed every bit of it. I know, and before the football game. And so tell us a little bit, how do we, you know, if we want an event, how do we book it? You know, some of the, you got some great ways to enjoy the main with a card. You get a little card instead of, you know, coming to mom and dad for another $10 bill or whatever. You got this new electronic system that works out really well. You know, so we got about, we only have about 3 minutes. So I know that's a lot to talk about in 3 minutes, but tell us a little bit more before we close out the show.
So if we want to book an event, like you said, we had an Arizona Bowl player party out there. We regularly host our Wildcat football players, and they are a huge fan of chicken wings. So if you want to book an event, I have lots of chicken wings, lots of meat. And so the best way to do that is to stop by our office off I-19 in Irvington. We can give you a tour. We can do lunch. That way you can really get the experience before you book your event. I'm big into catering and customizing all of our packages. So you can also give us a call. Our phone number is a quick Google search away. Or you can also book online at mainevent.com/Tucson. Super easy. So just our name slash Tucson. And then that way you can reach out to us about any sort of group events, birthday parties, corporate parties, lock-ins, fundraising. We just hosted Andrada High School's third annual fundraiser, bowling tournament fundraiser. They had a lot of sponsors this year, which is absolutely fabulous. They are an amazing group, and they raise a lot of money from their bowling tournament. So we can handle anything and everything. We've had a few weddings that have reached out to us. Nothing has come to fruition yet. But yeah, we will definitely get there. So best way is just to stop by, or you can reach out to us on our website, mainevent.com/Tucson.
Yeah, we should give a little plug for your parent company, you know, as well, over there by Keno Sports Complex, Dave and Buster's. Kind of a little bit, I think when they first started, We kind of characterize them as a adult arcade, but they're obviously a lot more than that, aren't they?
Absolutely. So Dave and Buster's, I did sell for them for a little while. I did both brands for a little bit. So it was nice getting to know our parent company. Amy Ramos is actually the event coordinator over there now. She's absolutely fabulous. She's on the sales side just like I am. So if you do need a group event, reach out to her, stop by the center. But yeah, I absolutely love their space. They have a sports area that has all of like the Phoenix and Tucson sports team names on there. It's a really cool space.
Yeah.
They're updating the games as well.
Oh, that's great. Really cool. Well, we want to make sure you get out to both places, Main Event. Yes. And to Dave and Buster. So Marie, thank you so much for being on air with us and telling us about family entertainment centers, and especially your new unique difference from some of the other FECs here in town. And just so I really appreciate you spending some time with us. So thank you very much.
My pleasure. Anytime, Tom.
This is The Morning Voice, and we'll be back next Thursday morning.